There we are. What do you do when people question Jesus? What do you do whenever people say things like, well, they might kind of make big statements. They might say, well, look, how can you believe the Bible? Or, you know, has science not disproved Christianity? It might be kind of big, kind of sweeping statements like that. What do you say? Or what do you do if people sort of say more specific things like, you know, if Jesus is loving, why is there suffering in the world? Or, you know, can Jesus run my life? Has he got power and authority to do that? Can Jesus forgive sins? Can Jesus really change my life, change somebody else's life? What do you do whenever people question Jesus and kind of ask questions of him and make you sort of doubt Jesus? How do you respond to that if you're a Christian? If you're really following Jesus, what do you say? Or what do you say if you're not a Christian yet, but you're thinking about it, and you know it's the right way to go, and you haven't decided to follow Jesus, but what do you say if people ask questions of Jesus? What's your response? What do you do when people question Jesus? Luke writes his gospel for a guy who had questions about Jesus, a guy called Theophilus, who got loads of money. He sponsors Luke to write this gospel. And Luke writes his gospel, and we saw this first time we looked at Luke's gospel, coming up to Christmas. Luke writes his gospel for Theophilus so that Theophilus can be sure about the Christian faith. And in particular, Luke wants Theophilus to be certain that God's salvation, that message, is for all. It's for anybody from any background. And so Luke sits down and he writes his gospel and he wants Theophilus to be really certain about that. And so Luke sits down and says, Theophilus, you can be sure. So if you've got questions yourself about becoming a Christian, and the reason you're not a Christian yet is because those questions never have been answered, you can't beat Luke's gospel for that. It's written to a guy who's got questions about Jesus. So it's for you. And do come along week by week, Sunday morning by Sunday morning, as we look at Luke and as Luke answers, I trust, questions we have. And it's a brilliant gospel too if you're already following Jesus and you know people have got questions, because through our times together on Sunday morning, I hope you can go away and say, well, look, you know, sit down, here it is. Here's the answers, if you want them. So Luke's gospel is a brilliant gospel to read if you're a Christian yourself and want to help people with questions, or if you're not yet a Christian and you've got questions, those will stop you coming to know Jesus. So what do you do when people question Jesus? If you open up your Bible at page 1032, Luke has some answers for us this morning. They're brilliant answers. Fantastic answers. Clear answers. Page 1032, Luke 5 up to chapter 6, verse 11. Why do people question Jesus? Well, let's begin then with the challenge. Let's begin with the questions. The questions, there are three of them, and they all come from the Jewish religious leaders. And the first question, the first challenge to Jesus comes like this. Jesus can't forgive sins. Only God can do that. And it's a story that we talked to the boys and girls about earlier on from Luke chapter 5, 17 to 26, where these friends bring their mate to Jesus. He's paralyzed. And they want Jesus to make him better, and Jesus does that. But Jesus sees his big need isn't his physical need. That's bad enough. His biggest need is his heart. His biggest need is what we said to the boys and girls earlier on. He's got a heart full of sin, and he needs Jesus to take the rubber of Jesus' blood and wash his sins away. And Jesus does that. And he forgives the man's sins. And the religious heavyweights, these kind of Jewish teachers, they come in chapter 5, verse 18, from far and near, even from the capital of Jerusalem, to check Jesus out. And wherever they hear Jesus saying, I'm forgiving your sins, they reckon that's blasphemy, because they reckon only God can forgive sins, and Jesus, you're not God. By claiming that he's the power and authority to forgive sins, Jesus says, I am God. Look at chapter 5, 20 and 21. When Jesus saw their faith, that's the faith not just of the friends, but the faith of the man himself, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees and teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? So there's the first challenge to Jesus. Jesus, only God can forgive sins. We don't think you're God, so you can't forgive sins. That's the first challenge. Wonder has anybody ever said to you, you can't do that? And you have taken then great delight in doing what they said you couldn't do. Remember many years ago, whenever I was at Kilkeel High School, and we were out one lunchtime throwing stones at crisp. It wasn't very exciting, but there you are. You didn't kill High School over lunchtime. And I hit a crisp packet with a stone. It was quite a distance away. And my friend said to me, "Bet you can't do that again." And I did it next stone. And it was brilliant to be able to do what he thought I couldn't do. And you see, here's Jesus. And he's doing what these guys think he can't do. Only God can forgive sins, Jesus. We don't believe you're God, so you can't do that. And you know, you'll meet people like this. You'll meet people who don't believe that Jesus can forgive their sins. You'll meet people and they think, well, look, my sin's too bad. You know, I've done something and it's really bad and Jesus couldn't forgive that. Or you'll meet people and they think, well, look, my sin's too ingrained. I'm too old to become a Christian. I've turned my back on Jesus too long. What do you say to them? We'll come to the response in a minute or two and it's really clear. That's one challenge. Here's the second challenge to Jesus. Jesus, you can't change lives. I mean, this is the person, and they basically say to Jesus, look, I'm a lost cause. I mean, you couldn't possibly change my life, Jesus. And that's what these Jewish religious leaders say to Jesus. Jesus, he meets a crowd of guys, and the Jewish religious leaders basically think these guys, you know, they're not worth Jesus' time or anybody's time. They're tax collectors. They're people who are crooked. They're the lowest of the low, according to the Jewish religious leaders. And Jesus sits down and has a meal with them, basically saying, look, he accepts them. And one of them is a guy called Levi, or Matthew, we better know him as. And Jesus has just changed Matthew's life, this tax collector, this crooked, dishonest man. And the religious teachers, they look at Jesus and they say, Jesus, you can't do anything with these guys. You couldn't change their lives. Chapter 5, 29 and 30. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house. And a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus can't change their lives. That's what they're saying. These guys are a lost cause. I never forget a guy who came along to a church I used to work in. And he used to come along on a Sunday. He started to come along to church. And he came along every Sunday. He never sang. He never opened his mouth. And I saw him every Sunday. He never opened his mouth. Never opened his mouth. Stood there. Never opened his mouth. And when I was preaching, he wasn't listening. He didn't look like he was listening anyway. But actually, he was listening. And over the weeks and months, I looked down at him and he started to sing. So that every Sunday, instead of never opening his mouth, every Sunday his mouth was open with praise to God. And that guy got saved. And gave his life to Jesus. And I remember talking to him afterwards. He was really surprised about it. And he didn't know, but I could see God working in his life every Sunday. From mouth like that, like a clam, to mouth open, praising God. And I remember talking to him, and he was so surprised by it all. He didn't think Jesus was for him. And again, folks, you meet people like that. You'll meet people and they will think, Jesus can't change my life. Jesus isn't for me. You'll meet people like that. I mean, Jesus couldn't be interested in me. He's not for me. What do you say to them? We'll come to the response in a moment or two. Because here's the third challenge. The final challenge. Jesus can't tell me how to run my life. Again, it's the Jewish religious teachers who bring the challenge to Jesus. It's all to do with the Sabbath, the Saturday, the Jews' holy day. The first part of the challenge is that Jesus allows his disciples on the Jews' holy day, on the Sabbath, to pluck the ears of corn, to rub them together, and then to eat, get the chaff away. And the religious teachers are up in arms about this, not because the Bible's against it, but because their religious tradition's against it. and Jesus is here breaking their religious tradition. And Jesus basically says to them, he says, look, fellas, I'm in charge of the Sabbath. I can tell you how to run your life. Chapter 6, verse 5, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man, that's Jesus, is Lord of the Sabbath. He basically says to them, to the religious leaders, I can tell you how to run your life. That's what he's saying. Next, Jesus does more good on the Sabbath. He heals a man who's got a shriveled hand. And the religious leaders are there again. They want to catch Jesus out because they don't like him. And he heals this man on the Sabbath who's got a shriveled hand, and they're up in arms. They're furious. Chapter 6, verse 11, the Pharisees and teachers of the law were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. There's Jesus doing good on the Sabbath, and they want to get rid of Jesus. Says a lot about them, doesn't it? But once again, Jesus shows he's got power and authority to do this. And they basically say, Jesus, you can't tell me how to run my life. Wonder, are you a teenager? If you're not a teenager, do you remember what it was like to be a teenager? I remember what it was like to be a teenager. And I remember whenever I was a teenager, I thought I knew everything. And I thought my mum and dad knew nothing. That's a teenager to you? Well, that was me. Guess it was you too, probably, if you were a teenager at some stage. And I don't think I ever said it so much out loud anyway, but I did think it about mum and dad. They can't tell me how to run my life. And that's what I felt. And you'll meet people, and they think that about Jesus. You'll meet people, and they think, well, Jesus can't tell me how to run my life. I mean, even though Jesus has actually made the whole universe, couldn't they? And even though Jesus is God's Son, who's King over everything, they'll still say, Jesus, you can't tell me how to run my life, even though he can. And so that's the challenge to Jesus by these religious teachers. Jesus can't forgive sins, only God can do that. Jesus can't change lives, and Jesus can't tell me how to run my life. That's the challenge. So what do you do whenever people bring challenges and questions to Jesus? How do you respond? How does Jesus respond? Well, this is the second thing. This is the response. And Jesus each time shows he's got authority to do all this stuff. So here's his first answer. Remember the Jewish religious leaders, they challenge Jesus, and they say, Jesus, you can't forgive sins. Only God can do that. So here's Jesus' response to them. Jesus has authority to forgive sins. Back to chapter 5, 17 to 26, if you look there. And this guy, and he's paralyzed, and Jesus heals him as a visual aid to prove that he's healed him inside too, and forgiven his sins. And Jesus' point is really simple. If I can do this miracle of making the man walk, which you can see, no two, I can just as easily do this miracle of forgiving the man's sins, which you can't see. If I can do a miracle that you can see, no two, says Jesus, I can do a miracle inside this man's heart, forgiving his sins, which you can't see. Chapter 5, 21 to 25. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, here's this fellow who speaks blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he asked, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? But I want you to know, or that you may know, the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took his mat, and went home praising God. Jesus has authority to forgive sins, and he has proved it. That's the thing. Jesus doesn't just say he can forgive sins. He's proven it. That you may know the Son of Man has got authority on earth to forgive sins. Get up, and the guy gets up. There's the proof, if you want it. Jesus has authority to forgive sins, and he's proven it. He's shown it here in Luke chapter 5. Sometimes, however, things are not what they seem. I mean, take this lady here. She's obviously pregnant. There's a wee child standing on her feet, and you can't see the sign, but she's begging for money. And her sign basically says she's in dire straits, she has no money, and she needs money desperately. So there she is begging, and this is in America. True story. So there she is, she's pregnant, she's got a little boy, she's no money, she's penniless, and she's begging. However, the whole thing's a scam. Later on, this mum and this child are spotted getting into a 35 grand Merc, counting their money and laughing. The whole thing's a scam. Friends, Jesus is no fake. Jesus is no scam. So when you meet people and they don't believe that Jesus has got power and authority to forgive their sins, here's your answer to them. Jesus is no fake. Jesus has authority to forgive sins, and he has proven it. Read this story to them in Luke chapter 5. Encourage them to read it for themselves. Here's the proof. Don't let them think my sin's too bad. Don't let them think my sin's too ingrained. I've lived too long without Jesus. And if you're the person who doesn't believe that Jesus can forgive you your sins, then here is Jesus' answer to you too. Jesus can forgive sins, and he has proven it. So believe it. Believe it's for you. Ask him to forgive your sins and he'll do it. Then here's Jesus' answer to the next question, the next challenge. Remember the Jewish religious leaders had said, Jesus, you can't change people's lives, Jesus. You can't do that. Here's Jesus' response. Jesus can change our lives. Here's Jesus sitting down with this whole bunch of undesirables. Levi or Matthew, we know him better off, this tax collector who worked for the paying Roman forces and who was a crook. As all tax collectors were back then, skimming money off what they took from the people and putting it in their own pockets. Jesus, you can't change their lives, the religious leaders say. But Jesus can change their lives. In fact, if they had been listening and watching, Jesus has just changed one of their lives. He's just changed Levi or Matthew's life. Chapter 5, 27 and 28, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, said Jesus. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. See? Jesus can change lives, and he has done it. Just ask Levi, just ask this guy called Matthew, who's written the first gospel, all about lots of other people whose lives Jesus changed. Jesus says he can do it, and he's done it. I don't know whether you remember or not. I'm sure you do the stories of the bouncing bomb in the Second World War. Really well known. Barnes Wallace said he could invent a bomb that would bounce and destroy some of the dams in the Ruhr, the great industrial heartland of Germany, and knock the heart of the German industrial war machine. Barnes Wallace said he could do this. People didn't believe him. Sir Arthur Harris, the chief of the Bomber Command, said this about his scheme. He said it was tripe of the wildest description. And he also said, there's not the smallest chance of it working. This was the guy who was in charge of the whole military operation. He said the whole thing was nonsense. Couldn't be done. Then Barnes Wallace stepped forward and invented the bouncing bomb, and the rest is history. He said he could do it. And he did it. And folks, again, you meet people and they'll say, Jesus can't do it. Jesus can't change lives. What's your answer? Jesus can change lives, and he's done it. Here it is, Matthew or Luke's gospel. Matthew, Levi, tax collector, life changed by Jesus. You meet somebody and they say, Jesus can't change lives. Read this story to them of Levi. Tell them about it. Encourage them to read it for themselves. Or if you're a Christian, say, well, look, Jesus, listen, Jesus has changed my life. If he can change me, he can change anybody. Can you say that to them? Jesus can't change lives. Yes, he can, and he has done it and continues to do it. Then the last challenge to Jesus, these religious leaders, they said, Jesus, you can't tell people how to run their lives. What's Jesus' response? Jesus can tell me how to run my life. That's his response. To these religious teachers. They say that Jesus' disciples can't pluck ears of corn and eat them on the Sabbath. Man-made tradition. Jesus says, I can, because I'm Lord of the Sabbath. He makes it clear that he's the one in charge of the Sabbath, not these religious teachers, because notice how he describes himself. In chapter 6, verse 5, Jesus said, "The Son of Man," that's him, "is Lord of the Sabbath." The Son of Man is a title from Daniel chapter 7. It's used of God's Messiah, God's long-promised King, the Anointed One. Jesus says, "That's me. I am the Son of Man. I am the long-promised King. I am the Anointed One. Can I tell you how to run your life? You bet I can," says Jesus. The first story in this passage makes exactly the same point. Jesus can tell me how to run my life. I mean, here's four men, they're fishermen. Simon or Peter, his brother Andrew, James, his brother John, they're out, they fished all night, they haven't caught a fish, not one. Whole thing's a failure. Morning time, and they're tired, they're hungry, and Jesus says, "Look, fellas, listen, do me a favor, throw your net out one more time." They probably, Jesus, "It's not going to work, we've fished all night, no fish here." Throw the net out. There's so much fish, the two boats are about to sink, they can't carry them all. What's the men's response? They say, "Jesus, you can run my life and you can do it from now." And they leave their nets, they leave their fishing businesses, and they start to follow Jesus. Jesus can tell me how to run my life. So what do you do when people question Jesus? You can tell them these stories, you can read them to them. You can tell them Jesus has authority to forgive sins. Tell them about this paralyzed man who Jesus said, "Walk as proof, as a vision, I can forgive sins." You can tell them Jesus can change our lives. You can tell them about Levi, about Matthew, this crooked tax collector, whose life Jesus transformed, and went on to write the first gospel, about lots of other people's lives Jesus changed. And you can tell them that Jesus can tell me how to run my life because he's the Son of Man. He's God's long-promised King. He's the guy that these four fishermen, in awe of Jesus, left their fishing businesses to follow him. Now, what about if you're the person with the questions? If you're the person who's questioning Jesus, is it not time today to listen to Jesus' answers to you? Is it not? Jesus has the answers for you here this morning if you want to listen to them. They're here. You've heard them. Because Jesus makes it clear, that he has the authority to forgive our sins if we ask him. He has the authority to change our lives if we ask him. He has the authority to run our lives if we let him. Jesus has the answers for you this morning if you want to listen. And I pray you will listen. And I pray you will respond to Jesus. And I pray if you've already responded, you'll bring this message to loads of people in Dromara who desperately need to hear it. Let's pray. Father, there's lots of questions. We've questions ourselves, but Father, I thank you that Jesus has the answers. Thank you, Lord, his whole life is an answer. Thank you that his death and resurrection show us that he really is your Son, coming with your authority. Thank you that he can forgive our sins. He's died for them. Thank you, Father, that he can change our lives. When we bring him in, he transforms us, makes us into new people. Thank you, Lord, that he has the power and authority to run our lives because he's in charge of everything, including us. Lord, if we need to listen to these answers today for ourselves, to be convinced about Jesus ourselves, we pray that we would listen and give us grace to respond. And if, Father, we've listened many times before and know Jesus already, help us, Lord, to bring this message to family, to friends, to neighbours, to people in school, to people we know who need to hear about Jesus, that they might listen to his answers and come to know him too. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Finish off this morning by singing a fantastic, beautiful song. It's all about how Jesus can change our lives. He's got the authority to tell us how to live. He's the God of grace, amazing wonder, irresistible, and free.